Prime Minister.
The Labour Party.
Stepped over the line.
Robert Simon.
Federal Politics with Dennis Shanahan.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks to Australian Menopause Centre. More natural, more caring.
And I can tell you, Dennis Shanahan's having the longest holiday in history.
Yeah.
The history of politics and political reporting. And Michael Packey is in the studio with us again now, Michael.
Good day,
Michael.
How are you?
We're good, thank you.
Sometimes you get lucky, don't you? Because because you're with us today, you weren't at Manuka Oval last night in Canberra when it was snowing.
I wasn't at Manuka Oval when it was snowing in Canberra yesterday. And you, let me tell you, I would have loved to have been there. I see that whenever I'm in Canberra, there are times when you obviously see the snow on the Brindabellas, but you never see snow
in town.
In town.
Well,
I mean,
Michael,
sure, there's frost,
Michael,
but not snow.
There's plenty more on the way, apparently.
Well, there you go. I'm heading off today.
Yeah,
I'm heading there to Canberra today.
We could be lucky.
We're hoping it hangs around. We're going down next Monday. Not this Monday, but the following Monday to see that Monet
thing. It probably will hang around.
Can you imagine playing football in the snow?
Well, no.
Now, just before we get into all this, I just want to give you a line from somebody who you wouldn't expect this from, but if all decent Australians would think this way. It's Graham Richardson, who's a longtime Labor man, Graham Richardson, and this is what he said in his column in The Australian this week. Just listen to this quote from more or less the opposition, okay? This country rarely gets the chance to see a quality military man up close. We did have the fleeting good fortune to have Jim Molan around, but the political system ate him up and spat him out. He was not from my side of politics, but you just knew he was a quality human being. Isn't it extraordinary how a new talent is discovered and discarded so quickly by lesser men? They cannot afford to have anyone to recognise their inadequacies.
No, and 100%
That's almost Churchillian, really is. And I thought, well, I read that from Graham Richardson this week, and I thought, fabulous, fabulous. Well, nobody in the Liberal Party saying.
No one in the Liberal Party is saying that about Jim Molan. Look, it'll be interesting to see what does happen here.
Mm.
I'm not convinced that the Liberal Party will heed the advice of a lot of people and give Jim Molan that Senate spot that... that when Arthur Sinodinos decides to, well, he will be leaving by the end of the year, is going to be the new Australia's new ambassador to the US. So it'll be interesting to see what does happen here. I think it is becoming a bit of a battle probably between whether or not they install Jim Molan in that position or whether they install Warren Mundine. I think it's going to be probably a battle between those two as to who gets that gig.
Well, they're both excellent candidates, but I'd be giving it to Jim Molan.
So would I. And I think that the thing is with Jim
Sorry,
Molan,
Warren, but I would.
No. Look, and I get where you're coming from, George. I think the thing is with Jim Molan, at least he contested the election. I know that the Liberal Party didn't like the way he contested the election, but the bottom line is he did contest the last election. He didn't win, but he got those 100,000 votes.
Exactly.
The party of so-called competition didn't like competition.
Well, the people want him, obviously, because he got the highest amount of votes ever
in the history
of people voting below the line.
Below the line. That's exactly right. And you would think that in itself would be enough to say, well, you know, we should give Jim Molan a chance chance and push him into
that
role.
So they do have a chance to redeem themselves. Now, the COAG, which is where we used to call it the Premier's Conference in the old days. It's when the Premiers and the Prime Minister all get together and have a talk.
Yep.
It's pretty well stage managed. A couple of things came out of it this week. The skills shortage, and there is a skills shortage in a lot of areas, but the other one was recycling. Now, I'm going to talk about this later in the program.
Yep.
But I think recycling and your garbage at home is going to become the next electricity crisis over the next few years, mainly because of all the recycling and people doing the right thing over the last two decades. Only when you recycle 100 empty bottles, you recycle 100, they only recycle 12, the rest went to China.
That's right.
Or Malaysia or somewhere. And China have said no.
Mm.
We're not taking your rubbish anymore, and so we now have to find alternative sources, and we have to maybe do some recycling ourselves, and our garbage rates are already heading up, and I think they're going to go through the roof.
Yeah, look, this was when it ended up becoming the major issue that was discussed at COAG yesterday. We all thought that a lot of it was going to be about skills, and we can get onto that in a second. But essentially what the states and territories have agreed to is to develop a recycling industry in Australia. I think what struck me about this story yesterday as it was emerging late in the afternoon was, like, I think most people think that we've got a recycling industry already in place.
Right. Yep.
And especially, as you said, George, this whole issue of, like, people, you know, putting their plastics in one bin.
Yeah,
and
we woke up to that years ago. That's a con.
Well, obviously. Yeah. Now, in terms of the only reason that we've got to do this is because you're quite right. China is saying we won't accept Australia's waste anymore. Indonesia is saying the same thing. We won't accept Australia's waste anymore, even though China, Indonesia, and some other countries in Asian
There's
countries
a very interesting, video clip doing the rounds at the moment about how they recycle it in Singapore.
Yeah.
They do it to the point over 24 hours, they burn everything into an incinerator that supplies their electricity.
Well, let me tell you, Copenhagen, and we were doing a tour with our listeners only weeks ago in Copenhagen, on one side of the water, this huge building is the Opera House. Across the other side of the water is where Princess Mary lives and the royal family, and there's a big church there with a big dome on it. And you look just across there, and it's just over the water, this weird-looking building with two huge chimneys.
Yes.
And we said, so what's that? She said, that's the incinerator. And so in Copenhagen, that's where it goes, and it gets incinerated. Couldn't see much smoke coming out of it. It's right. It's right in town.
Right
in town.
Isn't it time we started getting smart like these other countries?
Well, I think so. And I mean, obviously, as the case is with so many things, sometimes in Australia, it takes a long time for these things to start flowing through. But now it looks as though it's going to happen.
Well,
at the moment, let's just put it into perspective. All that they're doing at the moment is talking about it and trying to figure out a timeline.
But that's all we ever do is talk about it.
Well, it's the same with the other issue of skills. I thought that yesterday they were meant to be signing on to a $500 million package to improve TAFE and the vocational system. Mm. All they signed up to is the development of a, quote, skills council.
Mm. I can remember, it must have been 2002. It's a long time ago now, and I was filling in for John Laws, and we did a whole thing on skills shortage, and we were told that the average age of a boilermaker in Australia was about 55. Mm. Those poor buggers are probably still working, and they'd now be 75. Mm. I mean, because nobody's coming up from underneath. We've got some major problems in this country. We never seem to...
Dramatically major problems.
Well, this week we had the Australian Industry Group. They put out a survey. They're saying that 75% of employees are struggling to find enough staff to build a lot of this infrastructure.
I heard it.
It's quite amazing. Mm. We've got this pipeline of infrastructure across the country, and there aren't enough people to actually build the stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what the problem is, or part of the problem. The problem is part of it can be put down to snobbery.
Yes.
And the snobbery is we want our son or daughter to have a university degree. Mm. We're not sending them to TAFE.
Yep.
A trade? You're kidding. I don't want my kids to get their hands dirty. And that's part of the problem that's been building for 20 years
in
this country. Yep. All right, we're going to take a break. Michael Packey, we're sort of talking politics, but it sounds like we're talking workforces
as
well. But it's very. I think if people are awake up to what's going on, I think it's a very good thing. We'll come back in just a minute.